Hey, everybody, we're GFVS. We're Grand Forks' best source on a fun In Games Monday. In the studio today, Grand Forks Mayor Brandon Buchensky. By the way, your show brought to you today by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. You know, if you're like me, I was happy to be looking at my oil change card. I'm a little behind. I don't have the time to go in there, even though I should, because you go to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, it takes like 15 or 20 minutes to get your oil change. I mean, it's easy. You just show up, they open the door, you go in there, and while you're in there, they're going to top off your fluids, check your tires, your battery, your lights, your wipers, your cabin air filter. They also do tranny and coolant flushes. You get discounts for fleets. You get discounts for the military. They can text and email invoices and coupons. And if you mention Grand Forks Best Source, $10 off your oil change just like that. Yeah, they're open Monday through Saturday. No appointment needed. Pick up a delivery available if you live in Grand Forks. What a deal. Valvoline Instant Oil Change for a complete oil change and more. 3325 South 38th Street or call 701-780-8462. Make sure you tell them Grand Forks Best Source sent you, and they will be seeing me this week. Any questions or comments for Mr. Buchensky today? Our number, 701-213-0863. Well, before we get too much further into the show, time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. So I went for a run. I ended up coming back after 2 minutes because I forgot something. I forgot that I'm fat and I can't run for more than 2 minutes. So that was a quick one. What'd you think of that one, Paul? No, he didn't like it. Guy never likes my jokes.
You got to drag the punchline out a little longer.
Well, okay. I'll have to work on that. My delivery, right? How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I had a great weekend. I was at the lake. You know, my happiest time is just out there mowing the grass, to tell you the truth.
Really?
I love that. I just, especially with all the rain we've been getting, nice green grass, the smell of that clipping, just shut the mind off and get the rows nice and straight. I enjoy that. So we had a good weekend.
Are you kind of anal about your lawn? Because I am.
I'm really anal.
I make sure the stripes, I you know, back and forth, and then I change it up so you get like the cross pattern and all that stuff. And I'm anal. And if you really like mowing that much, I got about 6 acres. Actually, I was out. I was mowing Saturday morning. I thought, well, it's going to be too wet, but it was dry enough. So I'm out there mowing, and I'm freezing. And then it starts raining. And then a little bit of snow mixed in there. And my neighbor, I could see him looking out the window like, that dumbass is out there mowing.
Mowing in the snow. Usually it's the fall where you have that happen. But this year it's been the spring. I'm glad we're going to get, you know, like 2.5 months of summer.
We might.
That's been great between snowfalls.
Well, I just finally went and picked up my boat out of storage yesterday. I have no idea when I'm even going to get it in the water.
I haven't even thought about putting the boat in yet. It was down into, you know, there's a frost warning. Mm-hmm. It's almost June.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that something? I've missed out on the 4 or 5 different races now this year. Nobody's racing around here yet because of the weather. Hopefully this Friday. Sounds like we got the fixings going into the weekend, but then the weather this weekend doesn't look very good. Rain Saturday and Sunday.
Well, we're getting plenty of rain. That's good. Hopefully we can get some dryness in the middle of there so people can get some work done.
You know, not too often do I feel for farmers, but I do now. Especially that I'd haul beets in the fall, and they're getting past their magic number on the calendar. But, man, the farmers need a little help here. We all do.
Yeah. And looking to the north, you know, you got a lot of acreage that's not going to get planted, and you got crops at record high. So this is, you know, another example why, proper crop insurance and done well at the federal level is important.
Bailey, by the way, says, hey, my favorite mayor.
Oh, Bailey. I love Bailey.
I wonder who you knocked off at number one.
You got to love Bailey. Bailey puts a smile on my face every time I talk to
her. Yeah, I ran into her the broken drum here a couple of weeks ago, and I love talking to Bailey. She's so cool. Now, you know, when we talk about all this water, are there the flood pump stations? I was reading something about that. I'm having trouble keeping up, or do they need some work, or what's going on there?
You've just got to keep an eye on them. Obviously, they're really important. When the flood walls go up, all the creeks and all the water flow from within the city can't get, obviously you're blocking the river from getting into the city, but you also block any water from the city from getting into the river. So those flood pumps take water from within the city and pump it over the wall. We've got 12 of them. It's just a matter of keeping up on them and keeping them well funded. They operated perfectly this last time around, and a great example to show how great our flood protection system is. We didn't really have the worries that Crookston and other places had. So It was a tough period, obviously, after the 97 flood to figure that out, but it's paying dividends now, that system is.
You know, even me living on the Red Lake River, I've had numerous people that have been out, because you can see now, you can see the river right out my kitchen window. Normally you can't, but aren't you worried? Aren't you going to sandbag? Aren't you going to? I don't worry. I haven't for many years, and it's all because of what Grand Forks did. I'm close enough to the Red on the Red Lake, but what a fantastic job. And then I still kind of chuckle because it was 97 when this happened, and Fargo still hasn't got it figured out yet.
We finally beat them at something. You know, Fargo, anytime we can rub their face in the mud, or in this case, the floodwaters, we'll be willing to do that.
Now, you were traveling. You were out in Alabama here recently at an Air Force base. What was that all about?
Yeah, so it was a pretty cool event. They've got what's called the Air War College there. So they have military leadership that's looking at advancing. It's both domestic and foreign, so our allies also come there. They're in part of a year-long Air War College that they will graduate from and get a degree from. So the last week they bring guests. So the base commanders or generals from around the country invite guests to be there to take part of what's called the National Security Forum. So this was the 68th National Security Forum. I got invited originally by Colonel Pringle about 2 years ago, but I wasn't able to go because we were out in D.C. Inscribing Holty's name on the memorials wall. So I finally got to go, first time in Alabama, but definitely great, you know, to get to talk to a lot of military leaders and a lot of civic leaders from across the country, and spent a week down in Alabama.
What town were you in or near?
Montgomery, Alabama. So okay. It's Maxwell Air Force Base. Part of it, they had a F-22 display and an A-10 Warthog display, so we got to watch those planes go up.
Oh, cool. I like F-22. The Warthogs.
Yeah, the Warthog is just an old, you know, with the Gatling gun on the front. I was walking around the front of that thing, staying away from that Gatling gun. Holds like 1,300 rounds. They got weights in the back to keep it from tipping from all the ammo.
Yeah, and they're like indestructible. I mean, these things.
That F-22, that is probably, you know, the F-22 and the F-35. F-22 is exclusively U.S. military. They don't sell that one. The F-35, mm-hmm. they'll sell. But to see the capabilities of that plane, it can actually fly at 86 miles an hour.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Tilted up, and just the way it moves through the air, it looks, you know, like a UFO almost. So
yeah, I mean, if you take a Cessna 172 at 85 miles an hour, probably, you know, you're probably going to drop like a rock, you know, because of their stall speeds. When you talk about Alabama, my sister moved there a few years back. She kind of had a choice trying to centralize what she does for a living. So she moved to a place called Fairhope, Alabama, right on the Gulf, close to what they would consider Florabama. And I thought, geez, why would you move to Alabama? It's nothing but Hickville down there. But I was way wrong. Fairhope, Alabama, where my sister lives down there, beautiful. I mean, it is just gorgeous down there. This was at the end of February, and we're wearing shorts, and it's really nice. But something to be said about Alabama, not a bad place.
Yeah, the town, especially, you know, obviously we didn't go outside of Montgomery, but the city was really clean, really nice. Even the hotel we had stayed at had live music playing in the lobby. We got to walk around. I was taking it all in.
Nice.
I was coming back to the frozen tundra.
Yeah, here we go, the tundra. With all this water, you been getting out on the side-by-side at all?
I actually just brought it up from the lake.
So oh, did
I got
you?
The side-by-side. I got the wheels filled up. I installed a turn signal system last year so I can finally get it street legal, but mm-hmm. it's... No, it's not quite working, so I got to have some work done on that yet, and a winch I'm going to put on, but it's ready to go for the season. We're going to have I think it's August 24th is the date. I'll get you more information on that. Back the Badge will be happening again.
Oh, cool.
We actually got a motorbike, a dirt bike, and quad. They do the aerial thing. They had it here a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Global, or no, what it's called, Outreach, Zero Gravity Outreach.
Okay.
Group. They're going to be a part of it. It's going to be at the Laris Center, so it's going to be even bigger than last year. And hopefully we can raise even more money for the PD, the UPD, and the Sheriff's Department.
Maybe I'll get my four-wheeler and go with this time.
Anything you got. We take golf carts, motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, kind of just about anything. Take part. We had just over 100 vehicles last year, 100, 150.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully we can double, triple that this year.
Yeah, I mean, last year, nobody knew how it was going to go, you know, because it was the first time, but what a success. I thought that was incredible. The fun part was kind of watching when you guys were coming back here to the Grand Cities Mall parking lot. We knew when you were coming because we could see the drone following you guys around. Yeah. And that was a great time.
Yeah, No, I'm excited. I'm going to bring it back. It's, you know, it's all about the cause, and I, you know, that cause unfortunately hasn't changed, and in some ways it's gotten worse. But we need to support law enforcement, not just in Grand Forks, but nationwide. And if we can be an example to the rest of the nation, that's something I'll be proud of.
You know, I know what UND means to you, near and dear. I'm guessing that's the main reason you are back here. You had a choice to go anywhere you wanted when your hockey career was done, and we're thankful you picked Grand Forks. But I wanted to ask you about UND over by the Ray Richards area there. I saw something about that they've got like 12 acres that they want to sell to a private developer. The people that donated the land, Ray Richards' family, I remember when they shut down the golf course and they were thinking about doing this and that, and they had a fit. But now it seems like they're okay with this 12 acres. Do you know anything about that?
I haven't heard too much on that front. I'd imagine that they were, I believe at last I heard, they were still looking at keeping the golf course. So there was a nine hole, three par three or six holes of, you know, some par fours mixed in there. But I think they want to, the one thing I originally heard that I thought would have been great, it wouldn't need 12 acres, is that Sweet Shots, putting a Top Golf type of Sweet Shots thing in there. So I don't know if that's the route they're going. But you're also going to see that 42nd underpass taking place. So that area is really going to see a resurgence and sort of revival. So if we can put some amenities there as part of this, great. When you've got land that's tied up like that, that doesn't have a, you know, its best use, you know, it really doesn't benefit everybody. But I always enjoyed that golf course.
Yeah,
I think
me too.
I really like to see that stay there. I think it's I like that green space right in that area.
You talk about the 42nd Street underpass. Is that happening? Is it going to start soon, or what's the deal there?
Yeah, I mean, I've done everything I can to light a fire under that. The recent development, at least in the last year, is that originally the state called that a local project. So we've been lobbying like heck with the North Dakota Department of Transportation. If it's just considered a 42nd project, then it's local. And it, since it is on the, you know, it's on the north side of Columbia, but we've got them talked into that, you know, the Columbia part, that this is really a regional project.
Sure.
So that takes it from needing to be 100% locally funded down to either 10 or 20% locally funded. We're hopefully that'll be a 90% cost share with 80 federally, 10 from the state. We'd only have to pay 10%, which on a, you know, ballooning costs with everything else, it's probably a $40 to $50 million project. We can't do it without those cost shares. So we've got the state to see that. It's on their programming list, so it should just be a matter of time now.
Well, let's face it, the railroads have more power than God. You know, wouldn't it be nice if you just told them you can only have 30 cars, you know, instead of 300 cars or whatever. But that is one of the most backed up ones, railroad crossings in Grand Forks. And it's funny because on social media, I read about it all the time. I used to work out in the industrial park, so I'd drive right by it. I never had to cross it. But I always get a kick out of these people, or I just feel like saying, well, maybe you should leave 15 minutes earlier for work. But who wants to go to work 15 minutes early, you know?
Well, you just get, it's just when you leave, you don't, I mean, you should expect it. It stinks, but it always seems to hit you when you don't. Because you can obviously take the interstate or take Washington to get past the rail crossing there. But, you know, the railroads were here long before a lot of us were. And there's a lot of economic activity and business that's tied to those. So we've got to find a way to work together.
I know they're talking now, our jail over on the north end needs some expansion. Also want to build, I believe, a new juvenile detention center. How is that going?
Well, I think it's a tough situation. A lot, it wasn't done right originally. It's only 13 years old. So the fact that you're going to try to clean something up, it's only 13. The planning, probably wasn't the best because you didn't have the longevity out of that structure. But it needs to get done. We're at where we're at. And it's the county's deal. They've got to figure it out. You know, revenues are tight right now. It's been tough. We got to make sure the burden doesn't fall on taxpayers. And you can tie that into a lot of these projects that are, you know, that need to get done. Whether it's the schools, whether it's the jails, whether it's some quality life initiatives, we've got to have some industrial growth and some commercial growth to help carry that burden. Otherwise, it goes right on taxpayers, whether it's county, city, or school district tax.
And you know, if they can house more people, doesn't the jail get more money? I mean, is that state money, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, you've got different. There's different. Obviously, they house anywhere from city crimes all the way up to federal. So if you've got the marshals, that actually the federal is what pays the best. So if you've got more space and you can put in somebody that you know, as the marshal services grabbed and wants to put in there, that's actually the highest highest revenue. So, but they still have contracts with the city. So if they're full, they can't take those high expense, let's call them clients, I guess.
Clients,
I don't know if that's the right term, inmates. I think COVID showed that there were some issues with just being able to be spread out and in the infirmary and that type of thing. So They got to do some work on it. I don't know that it's ever going to be net positive revenue wise, but you still got to have proper facilities.
You know, I get a kick out of people that are incarcerated complaining about their conditions that they're in. You are incarcerated for a reason. This isn't the Marriott.
They're not putting massage chairs and flat screen TVs in there. I'll tell you that much. But they're just trying to make sure that they've got enough space for everybody.
We're going to take a break. We have got much more to talk about with Grand Forks Mayor Brandon Buchinski. We have got all kinds of elections coming up and stuff. We're going to talk to him about that in a couple of minutes. But I want to talk about C&H Insurance at East Grand Forks. These guys have been around a long time. You know, they began with the goal of building an agency with the highest of principles, personalized attention and service. That's the way they think today. This is the same concept that they have today. They strive to give everyone who walks through their doors special attention. They give you the best customer service you're going to find anywhere. And their agents have a ton of experience, over 50 years of combined insurance experience. They are licensed in Minnesota and North Dakota, so it doesn't matter what side of the river you live on, and Arizona if you're a snowbird. For all your insurance needs, get a hold of Justin, Jody, or Tammy, 218-773-0287. Or you can stop by 1427 Central Avenue Northwest in East Grand Forks. C&H Insurance, that's who we insure through here at the studios at GFDS. What a great company. Back with the mayor, Mr. Mayor, Grand Forks Mayor Brandon Buchinski in the studio again today. All right, now, when you look at elections coming up, school board is crazy. We saw over the last, since the pandemic, all of the things that have happened at these school board hearings and meetings and everything, but 23 people running, maybe one might have dropped out. But, you know, they had a deal in our local part-time newspaper about, some of these people running for school board and their concerns. Right now, and it doesn't surprise me, there's a teacher shortage, just like there is a coaching shortage, a referee, an umpiring shortage, because in my opinion, I won't even give my opinion, but...
Please.
your thoughts on some of their concerns, because, you know, they're trying to right the ship because they think it's tilting or whatever, but how can we fix this?
You got a bus driver shortage in there too. We've been managing that for a year. I think you've got, a little bit in it for everybody. There's people that have been unhappy with the spending that the school's done in the past. There's people that are unhappy with the CRT, the transgender movement that's happening in the schools. You've got people that are upset the way they handled the pandemic. So, out of those 23, I would say, a majority of them want to see changes. I'm sure there's a few that think they're in the right direction. I would probably disagree with that. I think there's some changes that need to take place. But you're going to see, I guess, the interesting part is going to be, with 23, is there enough name recognition for some of the people that really want to make some positive changes to be able to differentiate themselves? Mm-hmm. Because you've got some people that have been on there before that, if people go in there and automatically vote for that person, it's tough. With 23, it's not going to take a lot of votes to win a seat.
No. So, they also mentioned the referendum. Do we need another middle school, a junior high school? I really think that we didn't do that good of a job in the last 10, 15 years. I'm guessing you're going to agree with me, but all of a sudden we get a list of all these schools and all the work they need. It's like, what the hell have you been doing the last 20 years?
We haven't increased revenue, but the spending hasn't slowed down with it. It's the city. We've been very financially responsible. We've managed to cut mills over the last couple of years, especially since I've been in there. And we scrape and claw to cut a mill or two, which would benefit the taxpayer, but not when you have the school raising 10 mills. I mean, all of a sudden it's an increase when you've tried to cut. And I do think there does need to be some more funding going to the schools, but it needs to be taken care of in a proper way. And that just hasn't happened. I mean, it's unfortunate. Some of the school board members that are there now, it's not really on them. This problem existed before. They didn't maybe, direct it correctly, but we need more revenue. We haven't had the growth in students, so we don't have the revenue from the state and the per pupil basis, and we haven't had enough industrial and commercial growth, like I mentioned earlier, on the tax side. So that burden's fallen on the residents, and you price a lot of people out of town. When you're on a fixed income, you want to have nice schools. You want the town to grow. I mean, that's a great piece of quality of life for your kids, your grandkids. But if it prices you out of the market where your fixed income doesn't go far enough to you're eating ramen noodles and water for lunch every day, that's not going to be a sustainable option.
Yeah, some of these kids, the only way they're eating is by going to school. Because some of these parents right now, things are tight.
Yeah, well, I was just talking about in general and our retirees and fixed income. But certainly we've got, issues across the city when it comes to poverty and other. But that's a... wages have not grown here. We've got some, we've got the worst wages in the state. We've got to find a way to have better wages, to pay our employees more. And primary sector growth obviously helps that, because that's your, if you have a restaurant growth and it's costing you more to pay your employees, the cost of food goes up. But if you're selling a product outside the city, those wages go up, that money comes back in, and you're not affecting the cost in the city. So there's a lot of issues wrapped up, but you know, the schools, they're going to have a tough go. And it's, you know, I think even like when I went in there, I had hoped to make, you know, big changes, and we made some, but you're, you know, you're limited certainly by your budget, and they're going to find that out, that it, there's only so much they can do, and that they, we need to make some changes, but it's tough.
You know, this round of elections, whether it be school board, county commission, city council, mayor, chief of police, whatever, there's more people now that I can remember in a long time running. But things have changed so much. Now, this is one thing I'm starting to realize, at least on my side of the river in East Grand Forks. People run for city council. I don't know why. I don't know if they think they're going to do some good or whatever, but they're also, they got to remember that they are there because they got voted in. But then they don't listen. And now, with all the controversy that's been going on, school board, city council meetings, all that, are you kind of seeing it too, that these people are thinking, wow, I didn't sign up for this, you know, and I'm not going to run anymore and blah, blah, blah. But what did you expect? I don't know. Do you think that way?
Well, it's tough because, yeah, I mean, we're seeing that. I know you guys had the asphalt plant. We're looking at this corn mill, and it's tough because you're trying to do what you think is best. And then, you know, you have people that are against it too. So you're trying to balance that, and it is tough. I think it's great because, no, you know, it's been good conversations on these things, and I think that that should happen. But I think it's great that we've got a lot of people running, because it shows that even with all that stress, people are still willing to run. Right now on our city council in Grand Forks, this, out of the seven members, only one ran uncontested. Six of them were voted in without having to run a race. Mm-hmm. Only one actually had a competitor. So you didn't even have the option of who you picked. You got the six that ran, that chose to run. So I think it's great that we're seeing more people running, even though it's hard. I mean, the school board, you know, they certainly took a lot on the chin this year, and you still got 23 people willing to throw their hat in the ring. So that's a big deal. I'm glad that trend is going in this direction, where you've got more people wanting to run. It gives you more options. And quite frankly, you got to do a good job while you're there, because if you don't, there's going to be other people ready to take your spot.
Mm-hmm. Now, if it's, say, I'm not sure what positions are open now for the city council. I know the election's June 14th, but say they clean house, all different people. Does that cause any problems for you, or is it kind of nice to get some fresh faces in there?
I think it can be both positive and negative. You know, you're going to have new people that need to kind of learn the ropes. I had to do some learning when I got in there, but it's also positive because you got new ideas. They do it every 2 years. You have either the odds or the evens that run. So this year there's three seats, 2, 4, and 6. So Dockler, Mock, and Sandy seats are up. So there is a contested race in 2 and 4. And then Sandy ran uncontested, so we'll be back in. So, at the most, we're going to have two new members, which we will have two new members because the
Dockler and
Mock aren't running again. So it'll be great to have some fresh ideas and some new people in there.
What about county commission? Do you work a lot with them?
We certainly do. It kind of goes in ebbs and flows. You know, you work with them a lot. We work really closely with base retention type of stuff. At the prisons and with our public health systems, they work together. So there's a lot of times when we're working together. And it's good to have some new faces in there too, quite frankly. I've got a couple of friends that are running that I'm hoping do well in that race.
Yeah, me too. I hope we get to see them. I see City Area Transit, they're kind of working out a deal with UND. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I believe they're re-upping the contract. That's actually worked out really well. I think it's eliminated a lot of costs for the city. UND used to have their own buses, their own drivers. Now the city just takes care of that. And Dale Burgum's done a phenomenal job over at the bus department, not only taking that on in the last 2 years, but taking on the school routes. I don't know that the guy sleeps. He probably one of the few guys in town that sleeps less than I do. So, and the bus drivers in general have done a phenomenal job. So we give them credit. But yeah, they're just re-upping that contract. I haven't looked at the terms. I'm sure it's fairly similar. It made sense last time around. And our city staff will continue to drive UND students to and from campus and around campus.
You know, we were going through the hearings for the asphalt plant, the proposed asphalt plant, and we heard a lot of concerned citizens say that they had tried calling their council members, they had tried calling the mayor, a lot of the times and nobody would answer. You're not like that. You're kind of one of those guys. I know every time I get a hold of you, you usually get right back to me as soon as you can. But how important is that to you to be transparent and to be available for the people that voted you in?
Well, it's crucially important, and I hope I'll be able to continue to do that. It's very difficult because it takes a lot of your nighttime and your weekends as well. But it is important. I try to get back to people as quickly as I can when they call in, and there's matters sometimes with even just talking to them. They want to be heard, and if you're able to have a conversation, even though they might not agree with it, they're happy they're able to hear. They're happy to be able to hear your perspective on it. So largely, it's been good. There's some times where people just want to yell at you, and you have to temper that. You can't just keep talking. People are just going to call you a dirty, rotten bastard. But
yep.
I think you can say bastard on here. It's
too
late now.
Yeah, you were probably called worse on the hockey rinks.
Yeah, that's your career. Fact. That's a fact. But I do the best.
They probably threw
can.
American bastard in there.
Oh yeah, Yankee or something like that.
Yeah.
Between Facebook, my cell phone, text messages, and email, I'm pretty receptive and can usually get back to people within hours, not days.
I wanted to ask you about this. It's going to come up maybe on the ballot again in North Dakota, but legalization of marijuana. and the reason I'm asking you this is because we had got somebody emailed us wondering about potholes in the alleys and the streets. And they got to remember what kind of winter we had this year. Nothing lasts in this weather. The reason I brought up, Mr. Mayor, the legalization of marijuana is because I believe, and I might be wrong, Colorado used a lot of that money for schools and roads. Now, we're having issues with both here in Grand Forks. Could that possibly help if it was to be legalized and the state did it the right way and made their money? Could something like that happen?
Revenue-wise, if the state was willing to actually use the money for that, we got $9 billion in oil money that just sits there.
Yeah,
and it's earning, a quarter of a percent. At the same time, inflation's going up by 8-10. So you're losing money every year on that. If the money was used there, I've got, I think at least we've seen some other places where it's played out. I mean, safety's obviously a concern. I've got no skin in the game. It's never been something that's been an interest of mine. As long as it can be done safely, another revenue source that's better regulated, I think that's great. I know I got my old friend, Dave Hale, owns Strive for Life. So they've got the medical marijuana shop. I'm sure he'd love to see that legalized. So I think there's some benefits. And if the state would use the money, to benefit the local communities, that's great. And that hasn't always happened,
right.
Just put it that way. But on the pothole front, this year, obviously having a pretty dry winter and dry summer, it was good last year, and we're having to catch up this year. But when you're that dry and then suddenly you're this wet, there's a lot of contraction and expansion that takes place.
Yeah.
And we have put a lot of money towards that, and that's you've seen the roads are looking better. This year we're taking a little step back, but we're going to take 2-3 steps forward this summer. And you patch things up until you can reconstruct them.
Right.
There's a schedule for reconstruction, and we even talked about 17th. I mean, you do the best you can to patch it up, and we couldn't even get out there in the spring because there was so much rain.
Right.
So it's going to be a shorter season, but we've got the funds, and we're putting a lot of money towards the streets.
We put a lot of money in and a lot of work on 32nd. It's already getting bad again. And this, in my opinion, and I base everything on this bridge, this new proposed bridge, I almost base it all on beet harvest. The heavy, heavy traffic that is going on our residential streets because they've got to go all the way through Grand Forks and East Grand Forks to get to the beet plant. And I think, and I really think that these heavy trucks are doing a lot of damage, but just another reason, don't you think that we need another bridge?
Yeah. And I've been pretty clear from the start. I think Merrifield Road for that exact reason, it might be, people that are north of town have their routes, and if they're south of town or midtown, they're going to have to drive a little further to that Merrifield Road. But if there was a bridge midtown, it's not going to be allowed for those trucks anyways. So it's not going to help.
Right.
So, get that one done, and that will take a wear and tear off the roads. And I think the roads are, when they get constructed now, they're engineered well and they hold up well, but we've still got legacy roads that are, we're trying to hold on to and trying to fix in a timely manner that's not overly burdensome on taxpayers.
You don't have to use the names I did, but how dumb was it to go buy a chunk of land on the other side of the river on 32nd, from 32nd, hoping that a bridge would be put there when nobody really wants it there from Grand Forks?
Well, I think they were...
I call them stupid, but...
They're making a bit of a statement and saying, here it is. I'll just leave it at this. They had an opportunity to purchase it. If they didn't purchase that and then somehow it ended up there, I think they would have looked dumb on paying twice for it, double that price for it later on.
Sure.
The private, whoever was the second bidder. But yeah, I I don't know.
Were you kind of dumbfounded when you heard about that?
It would have been nice to know up front, but I got a pretty good relationship with Gander, and he said he appreciated my tempered response to that.
I kept it down.
You
know? I still want to see him on a kayak because he claims if you've never seen the river from the kayak, you don't know what you're missing. But they want to put a new kayak ramp in.
Oh, I did see that.
Orbit East Side too now.
As long as they're not getting in the way of our catfishing, I'd be fine with that.
Thank you very much, Mr. There we go. You know, you knew this was going to come up. I told you we're not going to talk much about it, but Fufang, as people call it, Fufang. City Council approved the zoning and the annexation, and I know there might be a lawsuit filed, or there was on May 6th. Can you talk about any of this?
Yeah, it's going to be a long process. There's a lot more pieces of the puzzle that have to come together and environmentally, odor-wise, even transportation-wise. So, you know, we're about 8 months in. We've got to start taking some baby steps towards a finality to it. But it's going to play out over the next 2.5 to 3 years. So there's plenty of time. A lot more due diligence has to take place. You know, and geopolitically, things could change too. So we're keeping an eye on it. If you know, if the plant does end up coming, it's going to probably be one of the most watched plants,
both environmentally, for sure,
security wise. And if something happens, you know, it's going to be the first thing that gets shut down and gets taken out. So it's I think in a lot of ways it's good that there's a spotlight on it because it makes sure our job as a city, we've got to make sure that the city budgets are protected, which they are under the development agreement, both the due diligence period and in the future. They've got to pay for things up front, which is great. The other side is obviously the inspection side and making sure all the environmental things take place. But our federal and state governments, we've got the best well, it depends on which side you're on, but we've got the most stringent environmental standards in the world, largely. So, I mean, I think that's great, and that process has to play out. And that is, like I said, it's going to take 2.5, 3 years.
You know, when you were first elected mayor of Grand Forks, loved the changes you were doing, you were making. You're a hands-on mayor, which is something we have not had here in many, many years. But after all of this stuff now, are you getting a little rattled? Or is this something you, I mean, nobody expects something like this, you know, with the big Fufang thing, but, how are your thoughts now compared to when you were first elected?
Well, you know, there's going to be tough moments. It was undoubted that this was going to happen. There's a lot of pieces in this that I think we need to break through. I wish that there wasn't the China element involved in it because without that, I think it would have been really one of those moments of the old thinking versus the new where we've got to take a little bit more chance, especially in value-added egg. So I think that would make it easier. It's tough, but I'm here for the long run. I'm gonna do the best I can. It's when people personally attack you and I mean, that's always hard and tell you, you know, you're not welcome in this town anymore and you and your family can get lost. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous when people are saying those types of things, but it's been, at least on that front, it's been a very small group that's at least personally attacked me. But it's tough, but I knew it was going to be hard. I didn't come in here with any, you know, fairy tales. This is just going to be easy. So when you put the work in and you're a leader and you're going to stand in front of things, you're going to have to take mud. And that's part of it. It hasn't scared me off, at least at this point.
Okay. You say you're in for the long run. You're going to keep running. You're going to run again.
we'll see in 2 years. Yeah. I'd really like that. I'd be planning on it right now. And, you know, we'll see. It's a burden on the family too. So I will throw that in there. You know, you're missing a lot of sporting events when you're working this long, and that's important to me and the family's important.
Sure.
So as long as I can keep getting to those and keep being a big part of my family, then I'm willing to do that. I've always said it has to go in order. You got to take care of your own house first. And from there, work on your street, your community, your neighborhood. If you can't keep yourself and your own house in order and do things the right there, then you're no good to everybody else.
You mentioned sporting events, things like that. I know going into the holiday weekend here, Memorial Day weekend, you've got a piano recital to go to.
Yeah, I was telling you before, I wasn't much of a musician. I didn't get to do a lot of the classier things. So we got our kids in piano, and they're doing a good job at it. But I don't know who planned this, but it's 3 o'clock on a Saturday. They got a piano recital of Memorial weekend. So we were hoping to get to the lake, but I guess we'll have to listen to some, you know, beautiful 4 to 12-year-olds playing piano, which isn't always quite in tune.
But you know, the good thing about if your kids learn how to play piano, they can learn how to play other instruments much easier, like guitars, you know, things like that. You never know. One day, one of the kids might be teaching you how to play guitar, and you know, you could. The Flying Bochenskis or something. Oh, I mean, geez. You could come up with a band.
No, that'd be pretty cool. I'm glad the kids are sticking with it and they can read music. I can't read music. And I love the piano, I love the guitar. So maybe that'll happen.
And then off to the lake.
Yeah, so we'll do that and then try to stick there, obviously, with Monday being a day off, and come back probably Monday night and unplug. I think everybody needs to do that. It's been a pretty intense couple of years, and I think everybody that can get out, get in nature, get around family, you're going to be better off mentally. You'll be better off at your job. You'll be mm-hmm. better husband, better wife, better dad, anything. So,
you know, I would have to draw the line. I mean, I've never been a mayor of a city before, but I would have to draw the line going into the holiday weekend. Supposed to be a time for you to get away, spend family time, quality family time. Is Mayor Bochensky's phone in his pocket all the time, even on a long holiday weekend when you should be relaxing and chilling with the family?
Well, I've had this conversation with my wife just recently, so we have discussed that I'm going to get in real trouble if I start dinging around and checking emails, mm-hmm. at least from probably late Friday evening until Monday morning. So we have made that shift, and that's just a family decision. So
you have to.
I was certainly all in on the weekends too in the past, and I still have events on the weekends, but I've got to have some more family time. So I have been, at least in the last couple of weeks, I've been at least two weekends in a row I've been able to do that. So it's been beneficial.
Good. Hopefully we didn't make you too uncomfortable in here today. I know the Fufong thing, and I'm sure when I called you, I didn't know if you were thinking that's all I was going to talk about, but I was hoping you knew I wouldn't. But I do want to ask you one thing. It has nothing to do with local politics or city government or anything. Last time we were here, we talked about the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, who's your favorite?
Oh, well, Tampa's looking really strong right now, my kids are still Colorado Avalanche fans for some reason, although I guess...
My kid is too.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe all the snow this year. I don't know. Avalanche is something, snow, I don't know. But... that's what we're hoping. So I don't know. They changed the conferences around, so I can't keep track. I know Colorado used to be in the West, and Tampa was in the East. So I hope that's still the case, and they could play in the finals, and everyone can be happy.
Well, I know Stephen Young, you still got a couple of Canadian teams actually still in it. You know that Edmonton series, boy, that thing is just back and forth, back and forth. What I can't figure out about Edmonton is all these years, they have got like the best hockey players, superstars, but they can't do crap in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like the Edmonton / like Buffalo curse. You get these towns that are just kind of, just downtrodden a little bit. It's always seems like it's always cloudy there. And at the end of the year, they just can't pull it off. But they have had years and years of top draft picks in Edmonton, and they've got good players that they just can't get it done.
Okay, I have a question for you from Monty. He's one of the hosts of our sports show on Thursday, the best Forking Sports Arena show. Does the mayor want to come give us some hockey insight this Thursday evening, you hosers?
Oh, geez. I know he's been inviting me for a while. I owe him one. I should check. I'll check my schedule, and I'll tell him I'll message him back. Well, I guess he's listening.
Yeah,
I'll message him back on Facebook
time,
and see. One of these in the near future, I'll have to get in there. I know we've been talking about it for a while.
We appreciate you coming in again. I know it's usually short notice when I get a hold of you, but, man, I tell you what, you always come in, and we appreciate it. And I want you to have a go have a good holiday weekend. Stay the heck away from your phone. And don't kill yourself on the side-by-side.
I can't promise the second part, but I'll do the first part. So,
all right. Thank you very much, Brandon, for coming in again today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there you go. Our Grand Forks Mayor, Brandon Bochensky. We'll see. You might see him on Thursday night here. You never know. By the way, your show brought to you by Executive Properties. Now, here we go. And our show brought to you by Executive Properties. Yeah, I'm learning new stuff all the time here. Now, if you've been putting off that remodel or something new around your house for long enough, get a hold of Executive Properties. These guys are good. They do all types of commercial and residential work. Everything from kitchens, bathrooms, doors, siding, concrete, cabinets, trim, tile. I think you get the picture, all right? They're going to take the time to listen to what you want done, and they're going to do it right. They've got a ton of experience. Barry Romo and the crew over there will take care of you. They've got senior and referral discounts. They're willing to work with any budget, too. And check out the reviews on Facebook and Google. You don't have to believe us. You're going to love their work. Executive Properties, they are your one-stop company that can do it all for all your general contractor needs. Get a hold of them, 701-330-1273. Or go to executiveproperties.org. You know what? I know these guys personally, and they do an incredible job. Let's see. Tomorrow, The Great Reset is back with Dr. Dan and David with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. Also, make sure to catch Common Sense Uncensored with Kit Brennan at 1 o'clock today. Wow. And everybody, have yourself a great day, all right? And remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. Become a patron on Podbean. Qualify for all sorts of giveaways. Grand Forks is an awesome place. Grand Forks' best source is giving it an identity again.